and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. A magnitude 5.2 earthquake followed by some two dozen aftershocks rattling Southern California last night.
I thought the car was shaking and it was windy, and so I couldn't discern what it was, but when my wife texted me, she told me it was an earthquake.
From Orange County to Bakersfield to Fresno, people said they felt it.
Oh, just like earthquake. But it's just so natural, you know, we have them so much lately.
No reports of any major damage or injuries. In the race for the White House, Vice President Kamala Harris held her first joint campaign appearance with her newly named running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
Thank you, Madam Vice President, for the trust you put in me, but maybe more so, thank you for bringing back the joy.
On the Republican side, Trump's running mate, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, wasted no time attacking Walz as an extreme liberal. Both campaigns traveling to several battleground states with about 90 days till the election. And travel up and down the East Coast, a mess thanks to summer storms and Tropical Storm Debbie dumping heavy rain and flooding. This is ABC News. New. A Missouri member of Congress, who's also a member of the so-called squad of progressive Democrats, has lost her re-election bid after Tuesday's Democratic primary.
In a race that gained national attention, St. Louis County prosecuting attorney Wesley Bell beat out incumbent Congresswoman Cori Bush.
This was a tough race.
Yes, sir.
And as I've said before, anyone that I ran against, they may be an opponent, but they are not an enemy.
With Missouri's first congressional district being heavily Democratic, Bell will likely win the general election in November. Jill Enders, ABC News, St. Louis.
Japanese automaker Nissan has unveiled a paint that it says will keep vehicles cooler, 22 degrees cooler on the roof and about 9 degrees cooler on the interior. Nissan says the paint reflects sunlight better and creates electromagnetic waves that redirect energy away. I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along,
right,
we can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like the
it's only glass.
It's only
tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
Randy Weingarten, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The two major presidential campaigns will hold competing events in Eau Claire Wednesday. Vice President Kamala Harris has had plans to hold a rally in Eau Claire since last week. Late Monday, Republican running mate J.D. Vance also announced plans to speak in Eau Claire. Stay tuned to this Civic Media station for live coverage. Meanwhile, Democrats say they're enthusiastic about having Tim Walz as Harris's running mate. Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler.
We know Tim Walz. He knows us. We love him. Everyone in Wisconsin knows and loves someone like Tim Walz. And I think he's going to be a powerhouse fighter and champion to win this election.
Meanwhile, Wisconsin Republicans are trying to cast Walz as pushing the Democratic Party further to the left. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers shut out the Braves.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opened their series in Atlanta last night with a stunning 10-0 shutout of the Braves. Pat Murphy shuffled the batting order and got results, including a pair of home runs from Willy Adames.
First hitter of the game, Terang set the tone, and then William comes up big after two strikeouts and hits the ball down the line. Willy obviously has a huge night. William has a nice night. A lot of guys contributed, and you know that's what it's about.
NFL, when the Packers play the Browns in Cleveland Saturday, you'll see Jordan Love playing in a preseason preseason game. Now, Aaron Rodgers did not touch the field in a preseason game his final 4 years in Green Bay under Matt LaFleur. Why the change?
Just going through, kind of reevaluating the last couple of years when we've had guys not play, and then last year having all the guys play. I thought it was beneficial for us early on, especially week one, just to kind of knock some of the rust off. I think there's a lot of value of going through just getting your mind right to get ready to play a football game.
As Matt LaFleur with Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Sunshine this morning, more clouds this afternoon. We'll get to 76 for a high today. Tonight, scattered thunderstorm 62. Tomorrow, clouds in the morning, sunshine in the afternoon with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 54.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Wednesday. Very special Devils advocates. Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, all in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I'll take you there. Charles Franklin and Rebecca Cook. Devils.
The Devils advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, August 7th, 2024. Another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, the Civic Media app, you could be watching us on social media, Facebook or YouTube. You might be listening later on demand by podcast. However you did it, we appreciate you being part of your Wednesday. I got a question for you. Are you heading to the Eau Claire Harris Walz rally? And did you watch the rally in Philadelphia yesterday as the new Democratic ticket was formally introduced to supporters? Selena Heller, our Up North News reporter, talked to the Eau Claire chief of police up at the new Eau Claire, what do they call it there, the entertainment district, the event district, basically the new home of Country Jam, where there's all kinds of activity going on this morning. Todd Alba will be reporting from there in a little while. We'll hear from the Eau Claire police chief, and we'll play some of the highlights from yesterday's rally in Philly from Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, the new running mate to Vice President Kamala Harris. We'll hear from Harris. We'll hear from Pennsylvania Mayor Josh Shapiro. And we'll also talk about some of our usual Wednesday segments. I mean, Wednesday is Climate Check Day, so Melissa Baldoff will be here. And was it a week or two ago, we reviewed the Kamala Harris record on climate matters. This week, we'll do Tim Walz, who basically, as the old joke goes, could say, hold my beer, because it's a really good record. So we'll talk more about that. Sachin Chetta joins us in our second hour to talk about back to school, and not the back to school checklist of school supplies and not the back to school, you know, supply list for teachers. And this is more the back to school list of threats to public education. You know, everything from the proposed book bans to budget cuts to, you know, the way vouchers are draining millions and millions of dollars away from our kids' public education. So we'll review that in this week's homeroom segment. We'll have some of the Republican reaction to the Tim Walz news. And seriously, it's just weird. There's just no other way to put it. And we'll have some of the best truly Midwestern reactions to Governor Tim Walz's ascension to the running mate spot as well. Along the way, you can call or text us at any point, 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can call or text that number. You can also use the Civic Media app, or you can put a comment on one of our Facebook pages or on YouTube as well. Greg Bach is in Waukesha, which is a good thing, because if he weren't, you couldn't hear me, because he's the one that actually gets this thing out over the airwaves. Mr. Bach, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Pat. How are you doing today?
Frenetic. It's just been, remember yesterday I talked about feeling like a pinball machine.
Yeah.
You know, we were just like bouncing back and forth, looking at the wires, looking at the Twitter, looking at the email, looking at the text messages, looking at the TV. And then it was Greg Bach who broke the news yesterday about Tim Walz being named the running mate to the Kamala Harris ticket. Yes, folks, I didn't have to do it. I could have just put my feet up. I worked way too hard and could have just said, Greg, darling, let me know when you know of something. So I'm glad your inside sources were all over that.
A big shout out to Luke Mathers for handing me the phone. Like, I think it was 3 minutes before we were done with the show yesterday.
Basically,
but
yes.
But the thing is, he handed me the phone, and the way Twitter works now is that it didn't show me the tweet right up in the middle. The tweet was up top on the screen, and the picture I saw was a picture of Kamala Harris and Josh Shapiro. I'm like, you're saying Walz, I'm seeing Shapiro. What's going on here? And he goes, he points, I'm like, oh, there we go. And I'm like, it's Tim Walz.
Well, we did it, though. We got the news out there and then spent the day reacting to it, and we'll have more of that throughout the course of the day. But I will say again, I mean, there was already this extra burst of energy or enthusiasm or positivity, you know, with Kamala Harris taking over the top spot on the ticket. Adding Tim Walz as the running mate, I mean, just put that in another gear. And the word that gets used a lot, I mean, people used hope a lot during, you know, Barack Obama's first campaign. Joy. There was a lot of joy out there yesterday. Both Harris and Walz talked about that. Governing with a sense of joy, campaigning with a sense of joy, because folks, I know that this may sound a little too Boy Scouty to some of you, but government and politics is actually supposed to be about public service. It's actually supposed to be about solving problems and helping your neighbor and making sure kids can learn and making sure kids can eat and making sure that, you know, the roads are smooth and making sure that our air and our water are clean. And some people actually want to do that. And other people just want to be weird, so weird and so negative and so greedy or so gullible. And it's just such a nice change of pace to see a little joy put back into our politics. It's been way too long.
I don't disagree with you. I felt like when Joe Biden stepped down, there was an initial sense of like, oh, God, what's going to happen? And then within 24 hours, I was walking around like, all right, I'm feeling really, really good. And then, you know, that initial pop, you know, it normalizes. We're like, all right, Kamala is the person. Mm-hmm. This is going to be great. And then when Tim Walz was announced yesterday, I was like, America's dad is going to be the vice president.
Yes. And he has been. I mean, just, and by the way, not just in the all nice, aw shucks way. I mean, he got a couple of zingers in.
Oh, yeah.
That, again, you would expect either your dad or your uncle. You know, we're always talking about the drunk uncle or the crazy, you know, nutball uncle. We forget that sometimes there's like the fun uncle who says the things that all the other adults go, Jim. And Jim goes, what? They're going to hear it on the school bus anyway. You know, and I like that.
I like that
very much.
As soon as the weird uncle walks away, the cool uncle goes, Steve's weird, I know. Don't listen to him. It's fine. Here, just go. Here's a soda. Just have fun.
That's exactly what it is.
No one's trying to put fluoride into your water.
No. And we'll have a couple of clips from Tim Walz coming up in just a bit here. But let me start first by going back to the scene of today's rally in Eau Claire. And as I mentioned, our Up North News reporter, Selena Heller, stopped by the grounds as everything was getting set up. Bleachers were being put up. A lot of bleachers. They're expecting a pretty good turnout here. So folks in the Eau Claire area hearing us on 93.5 The Tap, you're going to want to get there, you know, pretty early. I'm not saying it's going to be, since it's Country Jam, I'm not saying like Garth Brooks is going to be showing up, but you know, it's also not going to be Pat Kreitlow on a guitar. So
you heard it here, folks. Garth Brooks will be in Eau Claire.
Yeah, no. That's not what he said at all. And so here's Eau Claire Police Chief Matt Rokas talking to Selena a little bit about the security matters that are there, what their job is versus the Secret Service, you know, the kind of the division of labor to make sure that everything goes smoothly.
With recent events, there are heightened concerns about tomorrow's events. We're working very hard with our partners, whether it be the Secret Service or other law enforcement agencies. There's a very good plan in place, and we're going to do our very best to make sure it's a safe event. The U.S. Secret Service is the lead agency for events like this. Their primary responsibility is protection of the dignitary who's visiting us. With both events being in the city of Eau Claire, our department has a large role in ensuring the safety of the visitor, also the attendees that'll be coming out to see them speak as well. You know, our role and responsibility has to do with getting them to the site, whether it be coming into the airport, motorcade to the site security for the site itself, and then getting them, you know, helping them onto their next stop, you know, outside of Eau Claire.
And they will. They'll be heading right to Michigan after this, if I'm not mistaken. They're actually doing two rallies today as part of a barnstorming of all of the swing states. And again, with the site being just off Highway 29 north of Eau Claire, I would expect a pretty healthy contingent of Minnesota folks coming over because they, you know, they know there probably won't be much for rallies in Minnesota now that Walz is on the ticket. It's a pretty safe state. And so if you want to see a big campaign event with Kamala Harris, you're going to be coming out to this event in Eau Claire or something in the future. So expect a healthy turnout there. What they say, the arena in Philadelphia holds 10,000 people. And they figured there were 14,000 people there yesterday between the arena, standing room, and the overflow. Contrast that with a Donald Trump rally in that same building in June, you know, with, you know, a truckload of empty seats. And I don't know that this will necessarily last. Again, you've got a bright, shiny new ticket that's out there. People want to see them. People want to hear them. But there's most definitely a different atmosphere out there. And, you know, I, for one, welcome it. We've got 90 days now until the election. And they can't come fast enough. Yeah. So let's just enjoy that part of it while it lasts. So again, more from the Philly rally and more about Republican reaction and Midwestern reaction coming up in just a bit. There's also a story on the wires about in Arizona, the first person to be convicted of signing a document as a fake elector, claiming that Donald Trump had won the 2020 election. When he did not. So we'll have some details on that as well. But at 6:17, let's go take a look at sports. And the Brewers had a rough time against Atlanta last week. Not so much last night. Willy Adames hit a two-run homer. And then he hit another two-run homer as the Brewers routed the Atlanta Braves 10-0. Adames went 4-for-5 with four RBIs. He's got 75 already on the season. William Contreras was 3-for-4 with four RBIs. And the Brewers altogether scored their 10 runs on 16 hits. Colin Ray dominated the Braves for 7 innings. He struck out a season-high 9 while allowing just 5 hits and 1 walk. Colin Ray has not given up a run in his last 3 road starts. The Brewers have now improved under Ray's 19 starts. His record is 10-3. The Brewers' record in Ray's 19 starts is 14-5. The guy is very clearly proving himself. Game 2 of the 3-game series is this evening. 6:20 first pitch, Freddie Peralta on the mound for the Brewers. Pre-game at 5:45 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Park Falls. And then tomorrow, the series in Atlanta wraps up. First pitch tomorrow is 11:20 in the morning, our time, before the Brewers come home for a long homestand starting this coming weekend with Cincinnati. More about the new Harris Walz ticket coming up. But first, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Lake Air is looking for a sports play-by-play announcer. Lake Air will soon be your home for Amory Sports, starting with football this fall. If you love sports and have always dreamed of being part of a broadcast team, this is your chance. Here's an opportunity to make some extra money and enjoy the sports you love. Give us a call at 715-733-0539 or email info@lakeair.radio. Lake Air WLAK, hometown radio refreshed. Civic Media is an equal opportunity employer.
There's danger out there.
It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
The only song I could think of with weird and weird in the title was Weird Science by Oingo Boingo. We're going full-blown 80s today on this one.
It's a good choice. It's a good song.
Well, and it's because the reactions from Republicans have just been on a whole different level of weird. I mean, one of the first tweets by the Count MAGA War Room says, Tim Walz is a weird radical liberal. What could be weirder than signing a bill requiring schools to stock tampons in the boys' bathrooms, or weirder than signing legislation allowing minors to receive sex change operations? Neither of which is exactly true. But the larger point is, this is what you're choosing to focus on first. The hashtag that they got trending was hashtag tampon Tim.
Ugh.
Which, I'm sorry, that's what you're going for first. That's weird.
Also, you could have just gone with Timpon.
See, now that's why they needed you. Yeah. They should have had you for this, but no.
We talked about that yesterday. The first email that the Trumps, they said, it said Tim Walz hates you. Like, that's their mood. That's what they're going to go with.
Where are you going to get that from anybody? Tim Walz hates nobody. Made that clear in his remarks that he wants to get back to a point where we do disagree with each other. We all disagree with each other from time to time.
Yeah.
And try to do so without going, oh, yeah, I hate you. You're the worst.
Yeah.
So they're trying to put the weird label on him, which, again, if you can't come up with your own nickname for somebody, that's weird. As well.
Yeah, right.
It just is. Well, wait, you know who else recognized that? Not just Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, who spoke at the rally, of course, in Philly and could not have been more gracious. But he was also completely on point. And when the crowd started chanting something and he wasn't quite clear, then he figured out what it was. Here's what he had to say. There's just no, so again, give Walz credit. I couldn't make it out at first either.
Yeah.
I laughed out loud when Shapiro's like, are you chanting he's a weirdo? I'm just like, yep, that's Philly for you.
That's God the huge him. Difference too between J.D. Vance and like whether it's Josh Shapiro or Tim Walz, that, that clip of Tim of J.D. Vance trying to talk to the audience and like stumbling. And they start laughing, I love you guys. And they're like, okay, just keep talking. Whereas Josh is like, I love you guys. They're like, we love you too.
We love you too. Exactly. Kamala Harris knew of Tim Walz. They didn't work a lot closely together, but they knew each other, have a lot of respect for each other. And Kamala Harris gave her usual stump speech. but then started talking about, before introducing the Minnesota governor, the qualities that she saw in him. And I picked this one out in particular because of his record, not just as a father and a soldier and a teacher, but of a coach of a hapless football team and the difference that one good person can make.
He had a knack for using the game of football to teach life lessons. He saw the potential in kids who sometimes didn't even see it in themselves. Under those Friday night lights, Coach Walls motivated his players to believe they could achieve anything. And together, they defied the odds. Hear this out. Going from a winless record to the school's first ever state championship.
I should note that was a 3-year turnaround. They went 0-27 in 1996, and by 1999, 3 years later, they were state champions. So Walls is clearly a motivator in a positive sense, but he definitely knows, you know, how to pick at not just the larger arguments of the campaign and the larger themes, but, you know, some of the other stuff that shouldn't go without saying, as Walls notes, pointing out the record of Donald Trump.
He froze in the face of the COVID crisis. He drove our economy into the ground. And make no mistake, violent crime was up under Donald Trump. That's not even counting the crimes he committed.
So he got a roar out of the crowd on that one. He got an even larger roar when he made a comment about J.D. Vance and how he can't wait to debate him if he'll get off the couch. And the crowd was just all over that, which, of course, led to, again, MAGA Twitter losing their minds about, you know, oh, how dare he? How dare he? It's like, wait a minute. Do you guys listen to half of what you say out there? And so, yeah, he told a couch joke. But then he went on to mention that when it comes to the things that so much of the right-wing movement want to do are about restricting your freedoms. You know, your freedom to, you know, have your kids read books, the freedom to be free of gun violence, the freedom to love whom you choose, the freedom, the liberty of having bodily autonomy. Tim Walls kind of summed all of it up in this way.
Some of us are old enough to remember when it was Republicans who were talking about freedom. It turns out now what they meant was the government should be free to invade your doctor's office. In Minnesota, we respect our neighbors and their personal choices that they make. Even if we wouldn't make the same choice for ourselves, there's a golden rule. Mind your own damn business.
Boom. That's it. That's it. There's nothing wrong with having your own value system, with having your own, you know, religious ideology. It's about the imposition on others of things that are not, frankly, in the mainstream of society, that Tim Walls and others are just finally, A, calling weird, and saying, B, mind your own business. That's all people really want is, again, government should be in the job of serving the people, not restricting the people based on somebody's religious ideology. This is not difficult. When we come back, we're going to talk to Melissa Baldoff in our climate check. Wondered if this was going to be a carbon copy of a week or two ago when we talked about the Kamala Harris climate record. Tim Walls doesn't just have a record of things he'd like to do, but things that got done in the Minnesota legislature on climate issues. And so Melissa's going to have that for us. Todd Alba later from the site of today's Eau Claire rally for the Harris Walls ticket. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
From my heart and from my hands, why don't people understand my intentions?
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK.
Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The dairy industry continuing to review the federal milk marketing order reform guidelines that were released about a month ago. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. And I'll tell you what, Wisconsin dairy producers better pay attention. Dr. Leonard Polzin, University Extension dairy economist in River Falls, says although these federal milk orders may not decide prices, they definitely influence them.
When you're thinking of what the federal orders do and what they are, is to think of them almost as a traffic cop for dairy markets. They don't set the prices. The market sets the prices. They're a mechanism in which a lot of our trafficking policing happens within dairy pricing, right? They're the mechanism in which some of the math happens, in which some of the transmission of information, price discovery information, things like this happen. So oftentimes you'll hear somebody say, oh, federal orders set a minimum price. No, they don't set it. The market does.
Dr. Leonard Polzin, University Extension dairy economist at River Falls, he said, ultimately, the dairy industry will vote on a yes or no on these federal milk order reforms. He said, yes means you agree to adopt the changes. No means getting rid of the orders entirely. So critical to stay in communication with your dairy cooperative. Markets next.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Zatavo soybean seed, you get a big one. 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF Genetics, proprietary germplasm and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Zatavo soybean seed.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped another 2 cents to $1.91. 40-pound block cheese, a penny lower at $1.84. Double A butter stood still at $3.10.5. On the closing bell, December corn finished 3¾ cents higher at $4.07. November new crop beans were up 13.5 on Monday, $10.40¾. September wheat a half cent higher, $5.39.5. Not a real good day for dairy. The September class 3 milk dropped 68 cents to 1977. October was down 41, 20, 23, 100 weight. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stood on a Tuesday morning. I'm PM Yankee.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Sunshine this morning, more clouds this afternoon. We'll get to 76 for a high today. Tonight, scattered thunderstorm 62. Tomorrow, clouds in the morning, sunshine in the afternoon with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 54.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'm gonna put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seatbelts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
Because I don't want to.
But do you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There you go.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor with the Lincoln Project.
You know, one of the things I think that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people.
And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. We're all Americans, and it really is a melting pot.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Coming up, Kamala Harris is in Eau Claire with her new running mate, Tim Walz. Jim Santel filling in for Maggie Dawn.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, good. Of course, we've had a lot of fun with Governor Walz already getting named as Kamala Harris's running mate. And we're gonna talk. Last week it was all about Kamala Harris and her climate record. Tim Walz is quite literally saying "Hold my beer," and has quite the enviable record himself. But let's go back a step. I just want to know your overall reaction. I mean, we've known for a week or two that he was being considered, but what are your thoughts now that he's the running mate?
Oh, I think what a great choice. Not only is Governor Walz somebody who is just a, fantastic communicator, who is really relatable and, somebody that people, can fit in anywhere he goes, right? You can see him fitting in a Legion Hall, in a bar somewhere up north, getting coffee after church, yeah. In a boardroom, anywhere, right? He's someone who just seems like he could fit in anywhere, can chat with anybody. And at the same time, he's somebody who's getting a whole heck of a lot of good stuff done in Minnesota, with just a one-seat majority in the legislature. He's been able to get an incredible amount of, common sense policy passed. Republicans now want to, label this, extreme progressive agenda. And, if feeding kids is extreme progressivism, that's
saving the planet and everything else.
Right.
That was a good reminder that the Minnesota legislature, Democrats had a one-seat majority at times. And in President Biden's first 2 years in office, Democrats had, just a four-seat majority, something like that. And look at all that they got done. Look how much you can get done when you stop, kind of the backbiting and the sniping behind the scenes, said the guy who served in the legislature when there was just a little too much of that going around. Isn't it amazing what you can do when you all decide to work together?
Right. I think it's really impressive. It's really incredible what they've been able to accomplish in Minnesota. I mean, obviously I'd be remiss if I didn't point out, one of the things they haven't been able to accomplish, which is winning a Super Bowl.
Oh, of course. I mean,
but
has to be said,
but we wish them well in their, policy endeavors.
Yes,
and, of course, hope that we could get those nice policies passed here.
Oh, what a contrast between what has passed in Minnesota and what has been going on here, starting with the 2010 election of Scott Walker, and the state is still playing catch up. But, as we've heard before, we're just going to keep chipping away at it. But let's look at that Minnesota record, because on climate issues, the feeling I get from, doing a little reading on this is that Tim Walz has the perfect 1-2 punch here. First off, he's got a very good record on climate issues, but just as important, or more importantly, you could argue, he can communicate those things and not fall prey to, some of the right-wing talking points and everything else. It's one thing to know what you want to do, but you got to be able to help other people go, oh yeah, that makes sense. And that's the kind of communicator Tim Walz is.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think people, that's really kind of the, one of the introductions that so many people have gotten to Tim Walz recently is, you've seen kind of this branding of Donald Trump and JD Vance as weird. And I mean, for one, it's true. We saw this messaging come from Tim Walz. It's true. These are weird guys and they're talking about weird things. And it's one of the reasons I think it's so effective is, it's not saying that all the people who support them or vote for them or who have voted in for them in the past are weird. A lot of these folks are just people who are looking for someone to help them out and, talk to them and explain to them what's going on and how they're going to be there for them. But, and I think Tim Walz has really tapped into that. And, he's effective, with that kind of messaging on so many issues. And really, one of those issues is climate change. He, with his you know, upbringing in, you know, rural America and his, you know, record as a veteran, as an educator, he has learned how to talk to folks all over the country about all kinds of different issues. And he has really, you know, found a way to be incredibly skillful at talking about climate change in a way that people can relate to and that it's it resonates for them.
Well, and I think part of the reason for that is Walz is definitely one of those who does one of the things that we do on this segment, and that is that you not only talk about the problem and you not only talk about the threats, but you talk about not just even the solutions, but the economic benefit of the solutions and the economic threats. And look, for some people, they don't want that to be a dollars and cents thing that, you know, they it's like, look, we literally have to save the planet. And I get that. But if you're going to get solutions in place to, you know, prevent further catastrophic damage, for some people, you have to frame it in economic terms. That's exactly what he did. And he rolled out a climate action framework, which was a 69-page climate plan with six overarching goals. It basically sounds like the antidote to Project 2025. Instead of 900 pages of terrible right-wing ideas, you know, here are 69 pages of ideas that are good not just for the land, the air, and the water, but for the economy and for people's lives. It just, it sounds so simple, but, you know, Walz actually got it done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this, it, they've gotten quite a bit done over in Minnesota. In their 2023 legislative session, they passed 40 climate initiatives.
40.
What, 40. That's incredible to have made that much progress towards those big goals that they've set through, you know, through their climate action plan, you know, to set those big goals of, you know, reaching net zero emissions, you know, by 2050, to, or excuse me, 100% clean energy by 2040, to increase the share of electric vehicles on their roads to 20% by 2030, you know, they are really taking action. They are taking steps, making progress towards achieving those goals, because those are big, ambitious goals, and they're not things that you get to overnight, but they're taking the steps, and yeah, they are doing things in cooperation with folks in agriculture, with folks in labor, you know, with folks who work in our environmental organizations. They're really doing it in a way that is, you know, in community. And that's why they're making progress.
Yeah. I mean, in a host of areas, he has increased funding for public transit, increased electric vehicle infrastructure projects, allocated $2 billion to projects that are similar to the Inflation Reduction Act, but from a state standpoint, for natural resources, for climate, for energy. There are incentives for schools to install solar power, rebates for heat pumps and electric stoves, rebates for the purchase of electric school buses and EVs. And did you notice in nowhere in there did we get mired down in debates over science or, you know, if you want to call it hand-wringing about the threat? It's just, here's some ideas. They make everything cleaner. They create jobs. We make them affordable. How about we get this done? And, you know, it just, it sounds, if it sounds too good to be true, it is just what happens when, instead of divided government, or instead of government, you know, in the hands of, say, the far right, you actually put government in the hands of people that want to provide a service or solve problems. So the impression I get from it anyway.
Absolutely. You know, this is, you know, I think he really understands, you know, that he didn't, you know, cause these problems. Democrats didn't cause these problems. Republicans didn't cause these problems, right? These are problems that have been caused over years and years and years, but somebody's got to step up and fix them. somebody's got to talk to people about how we're going to fix them and, you know, offer some solutions that make sense to people. And the solutions that most often are making sense to people are the ones that are a good job that's putting food on their table and, you know, a paycheck going into the bank account, right? So I think he understands that and has focused on really, you know, those personal connections. It's, you know, not, it's not only, you know, people, and not to suggest that people don't care about, you know, the big picture, you know, this is good for society. This is good for everyone. This is good for the environment, because I do believe that people care, but people are also concerned about their families and their personal situations. And I think we have to acknowledge that and recognize that that real concern that people have over their personal finances, their personal family situation, and let them, you know, really get to be part of the solution by bringing those good jobs to them as part of the solution on climate.
There's a lot of talk about balance in any presidential ticket. And in this case, here's how you get it on climate: by having somebody who was a U.S. senator, somebody in Congress in the ticket, and then a state governor as well. You know, Tim Walz is not necessarily going to go to the U.S. Capitol and, you know, try to lobby Congress on something. That's something that a President Harris would work on, whereas Governor Walz becomes Vice President Walz and now can talk to governors of both parties across the country and say, look, here's what we've done in Minnesota. Here's our numbers. You can get this done in your state. Dare I hope, Melissa, that he could be a force for some positive climate legislation in Wisconsin finally?
Absolutely. I think we should dare to hope that. I think that's, you know, what we're seeing in this ticket is two people who have really, you know, dedicated their lives and their careers to public service, and who, you know, who deeply understand how good government works and why it's important. And, you know, that's not to say that, you know, someone who isn't as experienced couldn't be effective, because, you know, there are cases where they can, but, you know, really when it comes down to it, to me, experience matters, and trust, people being able to trust somebody and being able to, you know, recognize that, you know, they're going to do what they say, that really matters. And what we, you know, what we see in Vice President Harris, what we see in Governor Walz, are people who have a demonstrated record of serving the public, serving their communities in elected office, and running on saying that they're going to do something and then getting it done. It is a, you know, promises made, promises kept from both of them. And that, I think, is incredibly important.
And so finally, the energy, pun intended, talking about climate, that Walz brings to the ticket, and of course the change with Vice President Harris at the top of the ticket. I mean, you talk to people who are active on climate and natural resources issues. Obviously, they were planning to work hard anyway on behalf of President Biden. Do you feel like they've got like a maybe an extra spring in their step now when they see the two people at the top of this ticket?
I do see people excited. And I have to say, too, I really I see young people incredibly excited about this ticket. And really, you know, to borrow a phrase from my former boss, they are jazzed as hell about this. I have a 19-year-old daughter, and she and her friends are so excited to vote in this election. They're thrilled about Kamala Harris, and they had been talking for the past couple of weeks about Tim Walz. They have seen him all over TikTok and Instagram, and really, really, really like him.
This was fun. Melissa Baldoff, thank you so much. Thank you. Have a great rest of the week.
Thanks, you too.
Today's history lesson is up next. You're up north.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the state's premier agricultural expo. Farm Technology Days will be hosted at the Close Farms and Country Fest Grounds in Cadott, August 13th through the 15th. Check out the showcase of cutting-edge farm technology and sustainable ag practices. Find all the details at wifarmtechdays.org. The Eau Claire area is going to be bumping with the Reverb Music Festival. Enjoy the best of emo, pop, rock, hip-hop, and more with stages set up all around the Eau Claire Event District of 20th Avenue. Reverb is happening August 16th and 17th. And more great music will be featured at the Great River Folk Festival in La Crosse. Dance, art, crafts, performances, and a songwriting contest, too. Celebrate the folk arts of the Driftless region at Riverside Park, August 23rd through the 25th. Enjoy. And until next time, I'm Terry Ball.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
To the microphone now, the Kiki D to Greg Bach's Elton John. Here's Melissa Kay. Well, I mean, not singing, but joining us. For today's history lesson, Melissa Kay from locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. Melissa, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm pretty good. It's going to be one of those crazy days.
It is.
I like how you rightly point. Every so often, Greg's camera goes kaplooey and goes completely out of focus. And His hand's in focus, yeah, but it won't... Greg looks like he's got Vaseline all over the lens, like Carrie Lake in Arizona.
Oh, there we go.
Extreme close-up.
Hi, Greg.
But now he's in
focus.
I've
never seen your eyes so clearly before.
Hi.
Neither is he.
That was awesome.
Folks,
if you're not watching us live on Facebook, you should.
Yeah. Anyway.
Even my camera was like, sit back down, I'll focus.
Look at that. The camera behaved. Good job. That song, Don't Go Breaking My Heart, Elton John, Kiki D, was the number one record this day in 1976. All right. On this day in 1965, the top spot on the charts had been the Rolling Stones' I Can't Get No Satisfaction, good classic rock song. What kind of a song would knock it off the top spot? Well, Herman's Hermits would with this.
I just
imagine the Rolling Stones going, really? This is what knocked us off?
I'm not a music critic, and I know that everyone has their own style and choices. But, man, music really sucked back then sometimes.
Look at this. Melissa's dancing around to it, and you're saying it sucks.
Oh, my God.
It's such a fun, happy song.
See? Look at that.
Henry VIII was a horrible person, Melissa Kay.
Yes, perhaps, but this song is kind of fun.
Yeah, see? You're such a bad person. We have to make silly songs about you when you're dead so we can finally have some joy in our life. On this day in 1782, General George Washington ordered the creation of the Badge of Military Merit to honor soldiers wounded in battle, later renamed the Purple Heart. On this day in 1794, President George Washington invoked the Militia Act to suppress the Whiskey Rebellion in Western Pennsylvania. Such a difference between, you know, when you're the general that everybody loves and you go into politics and half the people hate you.
Yeah.
It's just a perfect lesson right there. All right. I want to play two versions of the same song here. First, this song was on the charts twice in 1954. I'll get to the one that was popular this day in 1954 in a minute. But a few months earlier in the springtime, the Chords got as high as number 9 on the chart with this.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Do, 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 shaboom.
Life could be a dream. If I could take you up in paradise up above.
Isn't that nice? It's just so rich. You know, very
soulful.
Very melodic, soulful. And then a couple of months later, they give it to four of the whitest looking guys from Canada you could imagine, the crew cuts, and this is their version.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry, but this is, it's like Eddie Murphy when he does the impressions in Beverly Hills Cop. You know, like, oh, did you put the banana in the tailpipe?
The only redeeming thing about this song is it reminds me of the movie Clue. So,
oh, I was going to say the chords version reminds me of the movie Cars.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of when I sang this with four very white girls in Tama on stage in 2001 when we did the Tapitas.
I would like to hear that one.
Please
well,
let
we
there be a video.
We were in 2011.
The late B.J. Thomas was born this day in 1942, 82 years ago. Had a couple of hits. There was the one with the really long title, Hey, Won't You Play Another Somebody Done Somebody Wrong Song, but also this one, which was made popular in a Hollywood classic.
Raindrops are falling on my head.
You can't help but just bop your head a little bit. Like,
yep. That was in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, where it really became popular. Actress Charlize Theron is 49 years old today.
Wow.
The number one song this day in 1971, so this was long before they became a disco hit, was from the Bee Gees.
Everyone, make like Robin Gibbs and put your fingers on your ears.
Now, this one more birthday here. Bruce Dickinson is 65 today, born from England, and took over as lead vocalist for Iron Maiden. And I got a question after this.
Oh, I'll answer it.
Okay.
God, so, I love Iron Maiden.
I could have looked it up, but I didn't. In the infamous Cowbell episode of Saturday Night Live,
yeah.
Christopher Walken, is that the name of the character he plays, is Bruce Dickinson? Or is it something else?
Oh, that I do not know. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to ask me an Iron Maiden question. Okay.
Oh, yes. In fact, I do have an Iron Maiden question. I thought of that hearing this tune yesterday.
Yeah.
What's the difference between Iron Maiden and Metallica? Aren't they the same group?
Whoa! You got the death look.
As Hart
Drake
would sing, "If looks could kill, yes, you'd be lying on the floor. You'd be begging me, please, please, baby, don't hurt me no more."
I don't.
That
even
was a look. That was a look.
I
couldn't have sounded any more like a guy that just listens to yacht rock than in asking that question, could I?
His name was Gene. His name was. Oh yeah, he plays. His name is Bruce Dickinson.
Yeah. It is Bruce Dickinson.
That's
fictional
so weird.
Bruce Dickinson.
Oh, my goodness. See?
And Farrell was Gene Frenkel.
I put my pants on one leg at a time, but every time I do it, I make gold records.
From Rob in Tigerton, good morning, Melissa, who does a very excellent job with her news coverage.
Oh, thank you, Rob.
Well, I think he was trying to say, not you're singing so much. He was saying, your news coverage. No, I'm just kidding. I'm teasing.
You've never heard me sing, Pat.
I haven't. That's what I'm saying. I'd like to hear what you did with Shaboom or something else.
I sang Elton.
You okay?
That doesn't sound like a melody.
All right. Today is National Lighthouse Day, National Raspberries and Cream Day. I thought that was a... Shouldn't we do strawberries and cream? Anyway, National Purple Heart Day when we thank and salute those who served. Melissa Kay, thank you so much. You can catch her on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. Always a treat, mm-hmm. Melissa. Have a wonderful day.
1320 AM.
There you go. Got to get that in.
I'll see you later.
Yes, you will. Big rally in Eau Claire coming up here. More from Up North News Radio after this. Is this Metallica?
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, 11:33, Dr. Laura Hanks with public cervix announcement. Send in your questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba,
the host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.